Okay, Shalom Uvracha. Welcome everybody to our special virtual and live in person BRS Midrasha Shir this evening. We are going to learn Mi'inyana Dioma, the matters of the day, Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, Ein Lanu Eretz Acheret. This topic is particularly relevant not only because of the current matzav in Eretz Yisrael, and our hearts, and our tefillos, and our minds, and our tears are with Acheinu B'nai Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, and really all over the world as the enemy has risen up in the most shocking and harsh sense, the Chaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam. But also these are the parashios when we learn the stories of the Avos and the Imahot. And a major theme, and the lives of the patriarchs and the matriarchs is the topic of Eretz Yisrael. And so, based on the Parashat Shavua, as well as the matzav ongoing in Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, we will learn about Ein Lanu Eretz Acheret. We have no other land. We will begin in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is Chayei Sarah. No, it's not. Last week's Parsha is Chayei Sarah. This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. And in Parshas Toldos, Parak Chof Vav, Parshas Toldos is really the story of both Yitzchak and Rivka, as well as Yaakov and Esav. And in Parak Chof Vav, the Torah digresses from the story of Yaakov and Esav to tell us how there was a famine in the land. And Yitzchak and Rivka journey because they want to find food. So actually, I told Amy I wasn't sure if I'm going to screen share, but since she made me the co-host, I will screen share with you so that you can see the psukim too. So you should be able to see that I'm in Bereishis 26 over here. Okay, I'm going to be reading the psukim and translating them, but I think that if you're interested, here you go. Let me just get a pointer over here. Okay, perfect. We have a virtual blackboard. Parachov, this is Parshas Toldos. This week's Sadra, Vayira, Ba'aretz Mavada Rav Arishon Asher Haya B'mei Avram, Vayelech Yitzchak Alvi Melech Melech Pushtim Grawa. There's a famine in the land, not the famine that was in the days of Avram his father. And Yitzchak journeys to the territory of Grawa Tavi Melech, the king of Pushtim, Vayera Lav Hashem. Now this is very interesting. This is the first communication of Hashem to Yitzchak. In Parachov, Avram Parshas Toldos, Hashem, as far as we know, recorded in the Torah text, has never appeared to Yitzchak yet. And now Hashem appears to him for the first time. Vayera Lav Hashem. What are the first words Hashem says to Yitzchak? Al Teired Mitzrayma. I am the God of your father. I am Hashem of the world. First words. Al Teired Mitzrayma. Do not go down to Egypt. Shechan Ba'aretz Asher Amar Lecha. Dwell in the land that I will tell you. And Rashi says, why is Hashem saying Al Teired Mitzrayma? We don't see any evidence that he wants to go to Egypt. It says he's starting to journey south to the region of Gror, which is the region actually of the Gaza Strip, Aza. So why does Hashem say don't go down to Egypt? So Rashi tells us on that pasuk, Shahaya Da'ato L'Radas Mitzrayma. Actually, Yitzchak planned to go down to Egypt. Why? Like his father did in the days of famine. He looked to his father. He said, oh, you know, there was a famine in my father's time. Parak Since Avram went down to Mitzrayim in the time of famine, I'm going to do the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said and said, Al Teired Mitzrayim, don't go down to Egypt. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, Avram went down to Egypt. Yaakov goes down to Egypt. Why can't Yitzchak go down to Egypt in search of food, just like his father and his son will do? Sha'ata Ola Tamima, Rashi says, because you, Yitzchak, are an Ola Tamima, you were the Akedas Yitzchak. The Ein Chutzala Aretz Kedaila. Chutzaretz is not worthy of you. Therefore, Mitzvos Lo Sasei, Al Teirid Mitzrayma. Mitzvos Asei, Shchon Ba'aretz Ashar Marilacha. Dwell in the land that I will tell you. Gur ba'aretz hazo, sojourn in this land. Ve'eim chai will be with you. Va'avarachcha, I will bless you. Kilacha u'lizaracha etein ekol ha'aretz ora'el. To you and your seed, I will give all these lands. Va'kimos yisheshvua shenishpati la'avim v'icha. I will uphold, I will establish the oath that I swore to Avim your father. I will make your seed as numerous as the stars of heaven. And I will give to your children all of these lands. Eretz Yisrael. This is the first communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yitzchak. And what's the topic? Do not leave. Chutz Aretz is not worthy of you. You are an Ola Tamima. Stay in this land. With that in mind, that the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yitzchak about, what is the first thing that Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu about? I heard the following idea from Avishai Shechter many years ago, and it made such a huge impression on me. He said he noticed one year when we were going through the parashat of Sefer Bereishit that the first thing Hashem says to each of the Avot is Eretz Yisrael. Hashem has a lot of things to say to Avram. They have a lot to do on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces himself to each of our forefathers. The first topic he speaks about is Eretz Yisrael. Now we come to Perek Yud Beis. We went back to Parshas Lech Lecha, which you should see on the screen. Ayom Hashem al Avram. Hashem said to Avram. First communication of God to Avram. First. Now the Rambam says that Avram discovered Hashem when he was 40. But according to the Torah text, Hashem does not appear to Avram until he's 75 years old. That's the first thing Hashem says to him. Ayom Hashem al Avram. Lachucham me'arzucham me'adzucham besa v'icha al'etz ha'sharaka. Leave this land, leave your birthplace, leave your father's home, and journey to the land I will show you. And in that land, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be for a blessing. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And Avram packs up his family, and he's 75 years old, and he takes Lot, and he takes Sarai, and he takes all their possessions, and the soul they made in Haran. End of Pasuk Hey. Ayetzu lalachar arza kanan, vayavo arza kanan. The first thing we know about Avram and his relationship to God, as recorded in the Torah text, revolves around Eretz Yisrael. The first thing in our Sadra Parshas told us that Hashem tells Yitzchak, Lo taseh aseh, al tered mitzrayma, don't go down to Egypt, shchan ba'aretz hazot, dwell in the land. Avram's first communication with God, Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak's first communication with God, Eretz Yisrael. By now it should come as no surprise that the first topic that Hashem speaks to Yaakov Avinu about, and it's going to be in next week's Sedra, which is in Parshas Vayetze, Parachov Ches, Pasuk Yod. Here we go, here's my pointer. And Yaakov leaves from Be'er Sheva, and he dwells in Haran. He's running away from Esau, and he encounters the place, and he sleeps there because the sun set. And he takes the stones of the place, he puts it under his head, and he lays down in that place. And he has this unbelievable dream. Again, Yaakov has never before this had communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a ladder standing on the ground, and the top is reaching to heaven. And there are these heavenly angels going up and down. And the angel of God is standing upon him, and he says, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha, Elokei Yitzchak. God appears to Yaakov for the very first time. And he says, I am Hashem, the God of Avram, your father, the God of Yitzchak, called Aretz, Asher Atashochev Allah Lecha Et Nenu Lezarecha. The land upon which you are lying, to you I will give it, and to your seed. And your children will be like the dust of the earth. They will spread west and east and north and south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your seed. I will be with you. I will guard you wherever you go. V'hashevo sicha al ha'adama hazos. And even though you're going into Galus, I will return you to the sand. Rabbi Shai Shechter pointed out, this years ago, and it really stuck in my head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels it's so important when he introduces himself to the Avos, the first thing they have to know is you have a mission. Your mission is to arrive in this land, to dwell in this land, and to conquer this land. And it continues, because it continues into the book of Shemos. Because what is the first thing Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu? Shemos, the beginning of Shemos, at least, Prakam Yod through Beis. What am I saying, Yod? Prakam Aleph through Beis, our time of Hester upon him. A time when Hashem's face is concealed, a time of great servitude, slavery, suffering, torture, and infanticide. And in Perek Gimel, we have the Ischalta de Geula with Moshe Rabbeinu, who appears on the scene at the burning bush. And Moshe, I'm now in Shemos Perek Gimel, was a shepherd for the flocks of Yisro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he leads the sheep into the desert, and he comes to the Mount of God, Choreva. Choreva is another name for Har Sinai. The first revelation at Sinai was not in the Ten Commandments, as Seres Adibros and Perichoth of Parshas Yisro. It was actually a personal revelation at Sinai between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Perek Gimel, 80 years before the public revelation at Sinai for the whole nation. And an angel of God appears to him in a flame of fire from the burning bush. And he sees this bush is burning with fire. And it's not being consumed. And Moshe says, whoa, what's going on here? Let me turn and see this great vision. Why is the bush not being consumed? And Hashem sees he turned to see. And Hashem calls out to him from the burning bush, Moshe, Moshe. Chazal say it was the voice of Amram, his father. And he says, he needy. The first thing he says is, don't come close to here. Take your shoe off your feet. Remove your shoes. The place where you're standing is very holy. Remember, you're standing by Har Sinai. Hashem introduces himself. I am the God of your father, Avram. The God of Yitzchak. The God of Yaakov. Moshe hides his face. He's afraid to look at Hashem. And Hashem says, you know, Moshe is Moshe emes v'saraso emes. Moshe is the Ish Torah. Moshe is lo yada Moshe ki karnar panabedavav ito. Moshe spends 120 days on the mountain in three sets of 40 days each, not eating, not sleeping, not drinking. Moshe teaches us Torah. What's the first thing Hashem says to Moshe? After he introduces himself, he says the ground is holy. Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami asher b'mitzrayim. Ve'es tza'akosam shamati mipnei nogshav ki yadati es mechavav. I have seen, surely seen, the affliction of my nation in Egypt. And their outcry I heard because of their taskmasters. I know their pain. Does Hashem say first to Moshe, you are the man of Torah. You are the shaliach to transmit Torah to Klal Yisrael. The Ered LaHatzilo Miyad Mitzrayim, you see right here on the screen, Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches in the book of Shmos. I'm coming down to save them from the hands of the Egyptians. Ula ha'aloso min ha'aretz ha'hi al eretz tova rechava. We don't know anything about Torah yet. Hashem has not said a word about Torah. Take off your shoes. It's very holy. I am the God of your fathers. I have heard the outcry of my people. I've seen the taskmasters afflicting them. I'm coming down to save them from the Egyptians. Ula ha'aloso min ha'aretz ha'hi. Who were the first to make Aliyah? God introduces the concept of Aliyah to Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to lead these people on Aliyah. You're the first Nevesh B'Nevesh journey. Al Eretz Tova U'Rechava. The Rabbanu Shalom says, I have for them a land that is good, a land that is broad. Al Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash. I have a land that's flowing with milk and honey. To the land of the seven Canaanite nations. Only after this preliminary information is given, is Moshe told about Matan Torah. Avram, Perek Yibbeish. Yitzchak, Perek Chavav. Yaakov, Perek Chavches. All the book of Bereishis. Moshe, Perek Gimel, the book of Shmos. Our three Avos and our greatest leader to ever live, the first thing Kosh Baruch Hu said to them is, I stress all the time in my own learning and my teaching, nothing in the Torah is an accent. You think it's an accent? Kosh Baruch Hu had nothing else to say to these four great biblical patriarchs and leaders, these great founders of our nation. He felt it so important to record for posterity, to tell every single generation of Yidden, you know how I introduced myself to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe? Eretz Yisrael, because that's your land. That's the first thing he says to Yitzchak in Parshas Toldos. Al Tered Mitzrayma, Shechon Ba'aretz Hazos. And then this theme I noticed actually continues in Sefer Yehoshua. After Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Aleph is actually the Torah that we read on Simchas Torah. What's the first thing Hashem said to Yehoshua? And after the death, why do we read this on Simchas Torah? Because for Kriyas Torah, we finish with Zos HaBrach and we read that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what's the natural of Torah? Yehoshua takes over. And it was after the death of Moshe, the servant of Hashem, and Hashem said to Yehoshua, Bin Nun, you should see I'm in Yehoshua, chapter 1, Perek Aleph, Nesharis Moshe Leimor, Moshe Avdi Meis. So first thing Hashem says to Yehoshua, just look at the beauty of Tanakh. We don't need fancy Mefarshim here right now. The Tanakh, God's language, God's words. La'ata, and now kum, avar et hayardin hazeh. Atavachol, amazel, artzashar, nochi, notein lam b'nei Yisrael. What is the first thing Hashem says to Yehoshua? Get up and cross these people over this Jordan River, you and the whole nation with you, to the land that I'm giving to them, to the Bnei Yisrael. Kol makom asher tidroch kaf raglechem bo lachem nesativ. Asher dibarti al Moshe. Wherever your foot shall trod, to them I shall give it, like I spoke to Moshe. From the Midbar to the Levona, to the Nahar Gadol, Nahar Pras, the land of the Chitim, the Yad HaGadol. No one will stand before you all the days of your life. Chazak va'amatz. Clearly, Eretz Yisrael plays a very important role in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the Torah tells us that b'feirush, and one of the most beautiful psukim that describes God's love of Eretz Yisrael, and it's in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, where we are right here, Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. And say for Devar, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doresh osa. Eretz Yisrael is a land that Hashem your God seeks out, drisha. His whole seeking out is for Eretz Yisrael. Tamid. Eini Hashem Elokecha b'mireishis Hashanah v'ad achrishanah. Always, the eyes of Hashem are upon the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It is a land that Hashem your God seeks out. Kosh Baruch Hu's eyes are always and consistently upon the land, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the great Rav Zatzal. Hasharas Hashchina, the reality of the divine presence, is a continuous process in Eretz Yisrael. It is part of the climate. Part of the climate. Divine presence is part of the climate in Eretz Yisrael. Just as there are different kinds of climates, says Rav, there are cold climates and warm climates. Similarly, there are climates completely devoid of the divine presence and climates very conducive to it. I think that sometimes we may feel, living in Chutz Aretz, sometimes we look around and we may feel we're in a climate that is completely devoid of the divine presence. And I'm not talking about, of course, Baruch Hashem Ardala Amos. I'm not talking our Makomas of Torah and Tefillah. I'm not talking about our Bate Midrash, Bate Knesiot, and our Yeshivas, and our Diskus. I'm talking about the general climate of large, at large, in the land in which we live. And as we feel, it's completely devoid of the Divine Presence. Or the people here are completely devoid of the Divine Presence. Similarly, there are climates completely devoid of the Divine Presence, as Rav Salavitcher. And there are climates very conducive to the Divine Presence, just as it is natural to get up in the morning and see the sun shining or hear the rain falling. It is natural in the morning to get up in Eretz Yisrael and find the Shechina. Just as one who walks out in the rain, says Rav Salavitcher, must get wet. And one who walks out in the sunshine naturally will feel warm. If you walk out in the rain, you're going to get wet. It's just natural. If you walk out and you stand in the boiling sun, you're going to be hot. It's natural. One who walks out in Eretz Yisrael will feel and absorb the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He will simply be saturated with Kavod Elokim. It's a natural part of Eretz Yisrael. The other countries that have rain, you get wet. Sun, you feel warm. Snow, you're cold. Eretz Yisrael's climate is a climate of Kedusha. Certain places, says the Rav, where prophets thousands of years ago had conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are endowed with the potential of Hasharas HaShechina, the Divine Presence, for everyone. Those who want to can receive it even today, says the Rav. Anyone who is in Eretz Yisrael and kisses the stones where the prophets walked merits to share in the Divine Presence, regardless of whether he is a great rabbinic scholar or not. It's not only reserved for the Gadol Yisrael. It's not only reserved for the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. The Hasharas HaShechina and the Kedusha and Eretz Yisrael is available for every Jew who wants it. And then the Rav says, one of my favorite lines of the Rav, the gates in heaven are open to Tzion. There are special windows in heaven that are only open to Tzion. And he quotes the pasuk I showed you on the screen, Devarim Yud Aleph Yud Beis, Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Mereishis Hashana Vad Achris Shana. The eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are on this land from the beginning to the end of the year. Quote, no other land in the world can imitate this quality. All one needs to do is open oneself up to the divine flow. The divine flow in Eretz Yisrael, says Rav, it's like dew, D-E-W, or a stream coming down upon the land from heaven. I've said this a number of times, so it's possible you've heard me say it on YU Torah. But when we talk about Eretz Yisrael, and this passage from the Rav is so hauntingly beautiful and so evocative and so emotional. You know, I was just as away for the weekend. I was actually in Palo Alto, California. So I flew into San Francisco, and when I was boarding my flight, checked in through security, my bags went through. I was walking to my gate in JFK Airport in New York. And I'm walking to my gate, which is on my right side, and the airport's very busy, moving sidewalks, all the stores, the shops. And I look out the left window, and there I see the tail of the LL plane. I literally started crying. No, I'm not joking. I was sitting at my gate, not tearing. I was actively crying. I was traveling by myself away. Which I was first gone residence, not because I was taking vacation by myself. And I was crying. I was sitting there crying. I thought, I wish I was going on that plane. I thought, how courageous is Am Yisrael when the whole rest of the world abandons us and every airline cancels their flights? Who's still flying in and out? The Magen David in the sky. And my father-in-law once said to me a year and a half ago, but I've quoted it so many times. We were last in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach 5782, a year and a half ago. And I was trying to describe what we were seeing. And my father-in-law's been there many times, so he could understand that you can't describe it. And he said to me, for someone who's there, they cannot describe it. And for someone who has never been there, it cannot be described. And that to me sums up the intense, palpable, but indescribable Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Someone who is there cannot describe it. What should we say? There's air here and there's air there, but it's different. Why? There's air in Woodmere, there's air in Boca, there's air in Palo Alto, California, and there's air in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, palm trees. There's palm trees in Eretz Yisrael. There's palm trees when I was in Boca last February. There's palm trees. And guess what? There's palm trees also in Palo Alto, California. How come the palm trees in Eretz Yisrael speak to you a whole different way? Here you say, Marbu Masach Hashem. There you say, wow, I'm in love with you, tree. Why are you in love with the tree in Eretz Yisrael? To someone who is there, you can't describe it. You cannot put into words what you feel. And to someone who has never been there, it cannot be described. I think that a good mashal, actually I never said this in connection to what my father-in-law said because I never thought of this, but I think a mashal would be trying to describe to a blind person what color looks like. How could you explain what sunset? So when I was on the plane yesterday coming home, you're flying forward into time. I saw the most dazzling sunset. How could you describe that someone never saw? You could try. It's a very good muscle, actually. You could try and describe its colors. Orange, pink, fiery balls, setting by the second till it's under the horizon. The great clouds, light in one part of the sky, dark in another part of the sky. They don't know what you're talking about. They have no way to relate to your experience of perceiving the color of the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. Someone who has never been Zoche, lo aleinu, to experience Ein Lanu Eretz Achara, cannot understand. I'm quoting another piece from Rav Soloveitchik. The first piece was from the Sefer, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways. Now I quote from the Sefer, Birkon Masoret HaRav. Bencher with the commentary of Rav Soloveitchik. In benching, no dalecha Hashem Elkeinu, al shichata l'avoseinu, eretz chemda tova urechava, shirosisu v'hichata l'avoseinu. We describe Eretz Yisrael as an eretz chemda, tova urechava. What does eretz chemda mean? It's a famous story told over by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's brought down in the biography of Shlomo Zalman, and it's brought down in many other places as well. Now, one time he was benching, and he repeated the second bracha of benching, the no dalecha Hashem Elkeinu. He repeated it, mamish l'thing. So after, I think it was a grandson who said to him, Saba, Kvod HaRav, why did you repeat that paragraph? So he says, No Dalecha is a chance for me to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of Eretz Yisrael. I was composed by Yehoshua. For the Matana of Eretz Yisrael, I'm afraid I didn't have the proper Kavana. I'm afraid I didn't properly thank God for Eretz Yisrael, and therefore I needed to say it again. Says Rabbi Joseph Bisalveitchik, the Rav, and this is brought down in Birkon Masoret HaRav. What does it mean, Eretz Chemda, desirable land? The word nechmad, says Rav Soloveitchik, does not simply mean beautiful. It does not simply mean desirable, as most render it. It means fascinating, attracting, pulling, magnetic force. Eretz Chemda does not simply mean it's a beautiful land. It does not simply mean it's a desirable land. Eretz Chemda means it is fascinating. It's attracting. It's what I was literally sitting in JFK at my gate, waiting for my Delta flight to San Francisco, and I was crying because on the other window, on the other side of the whatever terminal, tarmac, I don't know, there was a little plane. Eretz Chemda means it fascinates you, it attracts you, it pulls you in. There is one type of beauty that is aesthetically pleasing, says the Rav. There's a type of beauty that is aesthetically pleasing, but it does not necessarily attract the person. However, there's another kind of beauty that pulls a person in like a magnet, a magnetic force. A person somehow becomes intoxicated in the face of such beauty and cannot resist. This is Chemda. You become intoxicated with the beauty of the land. You cannot resist the land. It pulls you in. It's like a magnet. Says the Rav, when we refer to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Chemda, we mean the land attracts the Jewish people. It enchants us. It will never let us go. Indeed, says Rav Soloveitchik, at no point in our long and painful diaspora did we ever give up on Eretz Yisrael. No matter how distant we are, geographically, physically, how distant we are, we cannot escape the pull of the land. This is why we call it Eretz Chemda. It doesn't only mean a land of beauty and charm. It means a land with a magnetic force. What's the other side of the magnet? What are those called? North poles and south poles? Gosh, I haven't done magnets in science for many, many years since I was a kid. But one side of the magnet is Eretz Yisrael, and what it attracts is the Jewish neshama. You know what I'm talking about when you put magnets, like forces, what is it? Am I saying it right? Like forces repel and opposite forces attract, something like that. You need two pieces to attract each other. What are the two pieces of the magnet that attract each other? Eretz Yisrael, and what does it pull towards it? The Jewish neshama. Is it something you could explain? Is it something you could describe? Is it something tangible? It's something that's so kedushaful. It's so something lamala minatava. It's something so intangible. It draws us in and refuses to let us go. I want to quote another pasuk about Eretz Yisrael and a third piece of the Rav from a third and a different source. And this will be from Chumash Mesoras HaRav VaYikra. I just want to get the pasuk on the screen for you. I'm going to actually the kolos. The kolos in Bechukosai. not such a parsha that we like to focus on or think about, but Lamaisa, Kosh Baruch Hu promises many brachos, and he also promises kolos. So come, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to screen share with you. Right here. We got the pointer on Zoom. Okay. And parshas Bechukosai, Bechukosai and Kisavar are the two sets of kolos in the Torah. A whole list of blessings that will be bestowed upon us if we go in the ways of Hashem. And if we do not go in the ways of Hashem, the Rechman Alitzlan, many tragedies will befall Am Yisrael. And in the middle of the list of the tragedies, the Pasuk says, Perek Chavav Avayikra Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Nasati Asarechim Chorba, Vashimosi Es Mikdashechem. I will put your cities destroyed. I will smash your holy places. I will not smell the pleasing fragrance of your offerings. Vahashimosi ani esha'aretz. Parachavav pasuk lamed beis in the book of Vayikra. Vahashimosi ani esha'aretz. I will lay the land desolate. Vishamamu aleh oivechem hayoshvim ba. What does this mean? So let us look at Rashi. We're in the middle of the kolos. So Rashi teaches us, which Amy Horowitz, thank you so much for screen sharing, because in the end it's coming in very useful. What is this pasuk saying? We're in the middle of the kolos. Look at the next pasuk. The Eschem Ezara Begoyim, Baharikosi Acharechem Cherav. I will scatter you amongst the nations. I will empty the sword after you. Vahaisa Artzachem Shemama. Your land will be desolate. Varechem Yucharban. Your cities will be destroyed, like from the word Cherav. It's kolos. It's curses. It's a very difficult sugya to learn and to read. What does this mean? Vashimosi and Yesa Aretz. I will lay the land desolate in the middle of the clause. And your enemies who dwell in her will find desolation in her. Rashi says, Zumi da tova li Yisrael. This is good news for Israel. This is a good measure for Israel. Shelo yimtzu ha'oivim nachas ruach pa'artzam. Rashi says, within the kolos, within the dark clouds, there's a huge silver lining. There's a bracha. If we can have the land during those 2,000 years of Gaulus leading up to the creation of the state of Israel, if we cannot be there, if we have to be scattered to Spain and to Poland and to Portugal and to England, and we have to be kicked out of one place after another, the land will remain in a state of desolation. Why? Zomi de tova li Yisrael. This is a good measure. It means a good news, a good basura tova for Israel. Shelo yimtzu ha'oivim nachas ruach ba'artzam. The enemy will never find success or contentment in our land. Shatei shomeima miyoshvei, when she is desolate of her inhabitants. When the magnetic force, the Eretz Chemda of Eretz Yisrael, is not able to draw her children in because of a divine decree. The enemies will never find nachas ruach in our land. And so it's a basura tova. And the pasuk says the land will be desolate. And your enemies in the land will find desolation. This is a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Third source from Avsal Veitchik that we are quoting this evening. And again, this comes from Chumash Masorah Sarav Sefer Vayikra. The land of Israel cannot be built up by just any group or people. Only the Jewish people, says the Rav, possess the capacity to transform it into a settled land and to make the desolate waste bloom. This divine promise, says the Rav, became a miraculous fact in the history of the land of Israel during various periods. We must not forget, says Rav Salvejik, even for a moment, that the land of Israel drew nations of the world, Christians and Muslims alike, like a magnet. Now you understand why he says like a magnet, because we did the piece from Birkat Masorah Rav where he talks about Chemda. Doesn't just mean he's attractive. It literally pulls you in. And in this piece, the Rav says, don't forget for one moment that the land of Israel drew nations of the world, Christians and Muslims alike, like a magnet. The medieval crusades were undertaken for the purpose of conquering the land of Israel. Go back 1,000 years ago and colonizing it with a Christian population. All the efforts of the crusaders were in vain. They did not succeed in taking root and colonizing the land. Even the Muslims who were already in the land did not succeed in colonizing it properly. Quote, those who exile the Jewish people and replace them as residents of Eretz Yisrael, which was the case until 1948 from the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, will reside in a desolate land. Ultimately, they will starve in the land because she will not give of herself to them. Our enemies drove our ancestors out of Jerusalem, says the Rav, in such a poetic, beautiful, stirring piece that starts directly to your neshama. Our enemies drove our ancestors out of Jerusalem. They set fire. They destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. But they never succeeded. They could not colonize or populate the land. Har Zion was desolate for a very long time. And despite many attempts, not a single nation, not one other people, not a single nation, not one other people ever succeeded in establishing a state in Eretz Yisrael. Many people were eager. They were ready to colonize it. It was a land considered holy by the Muslims and the Christians. It was occupied by Rome, then by the Byzantine Empire. When you go to Caesarea, when I was there in Adar Bet 5782, a month before Pesach, I was there visiting my daughter in seminary / teaching trip, and I took a tour guide and I went for a day to Caesarea. And went to Caesarea, and you can see in the tell, in the excavated side of the hill, the tell, the civilizations built one on top of another, where the tour guide explains to you where the Crusader period and Herod period ended. I'm going a little bit out of order. And then the Byzantine period, there's excavations from all different civilizations in Caesarea. And what is left of them? Relics of history. Archaeological digs. Mosaics. Collecting dust. It is a land considered holy by Muslims and Christians. It was occupied by many powers, by Rome, by Byzantium, by the Muslims, by the Crusaders, by the Muslims again. It changed hands so many times. Yet not one nation was successful agriculturally, industrially, or scientifically. And then, in the beginning of the 18th, not the beginning, in the 18th and the beginning of the 19th centuries, entire continents, huge stretches of land, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, was successfully colonized and settled by the British. The British in these other lands took desert country. They took jungle. They made it into blossoming gardens. They brought civilizations to the pagans. And the same British came to the land of Israel. It is so l'mala min hateva. I'm interrupting the Rav for a second. There is simply no way to describe this. How could in other countries the same nations be successful? And when they come to this small sliver of land, Kilucha Ulzarecha Etein Erkol Ha'artzor Ha'el, we saw the Pasuk of the Bigli Rashir, God's promise to Yitzchak and Perichavav. Small piece of land. They took entire continents. They civilized them. They farmed them. They made the desert jungle bloom. The same British could not colonize Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Malam in Ateva. Am Yisrael is the Malam in Ateva. Netzach Yisrael is the Malam in Ateva. And Torah is the Malam in Ateva. It is a special land, says Rav. It is an Eretz Chemda. On a grand scale, no one was able to colonize it properly. Eretz Yisrael, for almost 2,000 years, remained a desolate land. Contrast this to the flourishing Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It is a very young Yishuv. It's in existence since the turn of the 20th century. And see what its members have accomplished. Apparently, quote, there is a sense of loyalty on the part of the land. She will never betray her people. She will not give herself up to strangers or to conquerors. She is a land that will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belong. I'm just going to read the last few sentences of the Rav again. Apparently, there's a sense of loyalty on the part of the land. She will never betray her people. She will not give herself up to strangers or conquerors. She will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, I'm looking at my time, which I have to choose which insights I want to tell you, which ones I don't want to tell you. I want to tell you all of them. I shouldn't have said that. Which insights I have time to tell you. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs teaches in regard to the life of Avram Avinu and God's promises to Avram. This is from Covenant and Conversation, Genesis. Rashi's Chayisara. Hashem made promises to Avram. He promised him continuity through children, and he promised him the promised land. If you look in the life of Avram Avinu over and over and over, from Perek Yud Beis, where we first meet him, until he dies in Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Yod, he has promised children and Eretz Yisrael over and over and over. And yet, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, says, these things will not happen soon, the promise of a great nation, Lo Yisaper Merov, and they will not happen suddenly, and they will not happen easily. They will not occur in Abraham's lifetime. Abraham didn't see the multitude of children who are greater than the stars. He didn't see the conquest of the land. That didn't happen until Yahushua and his children. Not only will they not happen in Abraham's lifetime, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, quote, they will not come to fruition without human effort. To the contrary, only the most focused willpower and great determination on behalf of Abraham's children will bring these promises about. And so we understand, says Rabbi Sacks, as only he can so eloquently teach, the divine promise is not a statement that God will act. It is a request. It's an invitation from God to Abraham and to Abraham's children that they must act to bring the promises to fulfillment. God will help. The outcome will be what God said it will be. Many children in the land of Israel. But these blessings will only come to fruition with the total commitment of Abraham's children. That means us. And they will only come to fruition against what sometimes seems to be insurmountable odds. Children doesn't mean children only. It means Jewish continuity. And if you look at Jewish history, sometimes it seems like that divine promise faced insurmountable odds. I mean, it's simply a miracle after the Shoah that there are Jews at all. Like, that's literally a Mal Minotav miracle. There should not be Jews after Hillel Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And the fact that there's a Jewish state is so Mal Minotav, there's no words to describe it. Shouldn't have been founded in 1948. They shouldn't have won in 6 days in 67. The Yom Kippur was a complete disaster. Moshe Dayan said it's a destruction of the Third Temple. And we have to be mechazik from our history for today. Today also, we seem to be facing insurmountable odds. No, let me rephrase that. Al pi tava, we are facing insurmountable odds. That's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And the Maccabim were also facing al pi tava, insurmountable odds. Al pi tava, it's impossible. Al pi tava, the Jews shouldn't be here anymore. How many times did they try to wipe us out? Xeris Tach V'ta, the Crusaders, the time of Rabbi Akiva, the Saru Gemalchus, the pogroms, the Shoah, Chavra Massacre, how many times? I come from four Holocaust survivors. Al pi tava, I shouldn't be here. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says the promises that God made Abraham will come true, but not in Abraham's lifetime and not easily. And they will not come true only by God's handing them to us on a silver platter. They require the tenacity of spirit of Am Yisrael. The divine promise, says Rabbi Sacks, does not mean we can leave the future solely to God. On the contrary, the covenant he made with Abraham is God's challenge to us to do everything in our power to bring these blessings to fruition. Faith does not mean passivity. I'm still quoting Rabbi Sacks. Faith does not mean passivity. It means courage to act and to never be deterred. It should give us such a chizuk. It might be easy to be deterred when we look at the world stage today. I'm not only talking about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. One has to have their head in the sand to not see what's going on around the entire world. Faith does not mean passivity. It means the courage to act and never be deterred. How exactly did the Maccabim win against a huge Syrian Greek army? That's also impossible. That's why we say, Rabin bi'ad me'atim, Tmeim bi'ad tahorim, Mishan bi'ad tzadikim, Zaydin bi'ad oske tarasacha. They also should not have won. A few Kohanim got together, Yehuda and Maccabi, Yonasan. What were they doing? Elazar? How did they fight? Huge elephants. Today you call that tanks. They had some swords, some spears. How did they kick the Syrian Greeks and their entire culture? Out of Tzion. How did they re-sanctify the temple? How did they find one Pach Shemen? Ravta es rivam, dananta es dinam, nakanta es nikmasam. God will take revenge. He will fight for us, but only if we take action. Like Abraham, who walked the land, who battled the four kings. Like Yitzchak, who dug the wells, even when the Plishtim kept kicking him out. He did not give up. He persevered. Like Yaakov, one Nisayan after another. He never gave up until his dying day. Kishavali. What was the oath? What was the oath? Al nasit bereinu mitzrayim. Faith does not mean passivity. It means the courage to act and never be deterred. The future will happen, but it is we, the children of Abraham, inspired, empowered, given strength by the promise, who must bring it about. Now we see today in our soldiers, Hashem Yishmar Aleihem, is the very embodiment of the great words of Rabbi Sacks. Our soldiers who are in the Gehenna of Gaza Strip, who against Al Pi Teva, the odds don't seem insurmountable. Al Pi Teva, they are insurmountable. Yet we've all seen the tefillin on the arms of soldiers with tattoos, the soldiers requesting the tzitzit, the soldiers making brachos, the soldiers fighting with such courage, fortitude, strength, and emuna, screaming. Haven't you seen the same videos that I've seen? The command, yo, Shema Yisrael, and they all say Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elkeinu, they say Hashem Elkeinu. Faith does not mean passivity. It means the courage to act and never be deterred. The future will happen. But it is we, inspired, empowered, given strength by the promise, who must bring it about. I'm going to end by quoting an article from Israel Hayom. Over Shabbat, Moshe Yedidya Leiter, 39 years old, Hashem Yinkom Damo, a reservist commander, and a father of 6 children, the youngest of whom is not even 1 year old, was killed in battle when him and his troops encountered a booby-trapped tunnel right next to one of the mosques. His father, Moshe Yedidya Leiter's father, is a very well-known personality in the land of Israel. I remember him from my childhood. He was a close confidant, associate, and friend of my father. He actually, Yechiel Leiter, some of you may know him, he helped really build the communities of Yehuda Shomron and Aza. He actually spoke at one of my brother's bar mitzvahs. I'm going back many years ago. And my brother, who Yechiel spoke at his bar mitzvah, said he, my brother, was at Moshe Yedidya Leiter's bar mitzvah. Moshe Yedidya Leiter, Hashem Yikom Damo, was 39 years old. Faith does not mean passivity. It means the courage to act and never be deterred. Even when, says Rabbi Sacks, the children of Abraham face seemingly insurmountable obstacles. How apropos for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Faith means the future will happen. But it is we who must make the future happen. It is we who must never give up. What does Maccabee stand for? Mi kamocha be'elim Hashem. This was an article written on Israel Hayom website by Dr. Miriam Adelson. Major Reserve Moshe Yedidya Leiter, 39 years old, Hashem Yikom Damo, was destined for greatness. I know this, writes Dr. Miriam Adelson, because I had the privilege of knowing him. 6 children. The youngest is under 1. 6 children who say, Ima, Matai, Abba, Chozer Baita. The tragic death in battle of this young and talented man fills my heart with deep sorrow. Moshe was among the most promising students in the medical school that I founded with my late husband Sheldon at Ariel University. He was older than most of his peers in the program, having served until the age of 33 in an elite military unit, and he already started a family. After all of this, he embarked on his new medical career path with the joy of a pioneer, while volunteering for 90 days of reserve duty each year. I wasn't surprised to learn that Moshe was born in the historic part of Hebron and grew up in Eli, in a family of patriotic Olim, intellectuals with a deep sense of duty towards society. He excelled as an officer in the Shaldag unit, just like he would have excelled in his path as a doctor. He was a father of 6. That he maintained an internal, inquisitive child within, a mischievous smile that would never leave his lips. It is no surprise that Moshe fell in battle as a hero during one of the most dangerous missions in Gaza, clearing a tunnel that was booby-trapped by terrorists. How fitting was his name, Moshe, after the first person who gave us the Torah, and his surname was Leiter, ancient German for leader. And his middle name was Yedidya, which means beloved by God. It seems that God already wanted to gather this friend of his by his side, but it's too soon. It is heart-wrenching. It's hard to believe that he will not return. Like all the people of Israel, I mourn for all those murdered on the October 7th massacre and the war imposed on us since. Each and every one of the fallen is an entire world. Each and every one leaves a massive void. Alongside the pain, I pray for the safety of our captives and for their swift return home. And at the end of her eulogy, she says, "Rest in peace, Moshe Yedidya, my dear friend. I am so proud to have had the chance to know you as a student, as a colleague in the medical profession, and as a human being. I extend my condolences to your parents, your wife, your children, your friends, your acquaintances, your land and your country. Everyone will sorely miss you." Faith does not mean passivity, says the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises the Avos and Moshe and Yoshua over and over and over again that Eretz Yisrael is our land. But in order to bring the blessing, the covenant, the promise to fruition, we must act. Lech lecha. The first words God told Abram is walk, journey, be productive, go forth. With that tenacity of spirit, you will see the blessings come to fruition. Moshe Bizocha to see, it's the month of Kislev. Wow. I davened Yalviyavu tonight in Marv, and I didn't feel so festive. I have to be honest. I thought donuts, Hanukkah parties, chocolate gout. Ravta esrivam, danta estinam, nakamta esnikmasam, masarta giborim biad chalashim, rabim biad ma'atim, tmeim biad tahorim, rishaim biad tzadikim. Thank you so much. I wish you b'ezer Hashem b'soros tovos, kol tov, all the way from London, New York. Thank you so much for learning with me. B'soros tovos, kol tov, and chodesh tov to all.